Amen. Welcome once again to River of Life. We're so glad you're here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word together. Lord, we just ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon each one of us. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you teach us today and give us a deeper understanding of our function in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Take It to Heart. And we're going to be doing a series on the priesthood for a few weeks. And so before we get started, though, I just want to thank God that I'm here this morning. He's so good. It could have been so different. But thank God for his provision for each one of us. He knows in our times of trouble, in our time of need, exactly how to line everything up and get it in order. And when I went to ER 4 weeks ago today, God had everything lined up and everything in order. And I'm so thankful. So thankful. At times I feel miserable, but I'm thankful I'm alive to feel miserable. You just got to reframe your situation and have a heart and an attitude of being thankful. God is so good. And I'm so thankful to see all of you this morning and for the opportunity to share the word of the Lord. You know, when I am recovering from something, I love it because it gives me that time to really get into the word of God and to really spend time with God because he slows everything down. You know, God knows how to slow you down. It's not always the way you would want to be slowed down, but when you are slowed down, take advantage of that time. And so as I was reading, finishing up my Bible reading for the year, I was in the book of Malachi, and in chapter 2, the Lord was talking to the priests, and he was talking to them and really giving them a reprimand because they were not taking to heart their responsibility as priests. And so that is how this message got birthed. And so just to lay some foundation, we talk a lot about the kingdom here. Is that right? A kingdom is where the king has domain, where the king's word is law, where the king rules. And we're all born into the kingdom of God, of his dear son. And we know there's this realm of the kingdom of light, and there's an opposing realm of the kingdom of darkness. And so the kingdom of God, the scripture says in Luke 14, 20 to 21, which isn't on your outline, but it says this, it says the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is an inner kingdom on the inside of those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. So get that picture. The kingdom of God is in you. It is an inner kingdom. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in the Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. You know, I believe there are churches that have looked for ways of having church without depending upon the Holy Spirit. If anything, I believe churches have kind of pushed Holy Spirit aside. But there is no way we cannot serve God or have church without totally relying on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. So if we're trying to serve God any other way without relying on the Holy Spirit, then we're spiritually dead. And churches can become spiritually dead because they're not relying on and depending upon the Holy Spirit. They can still go through all the actions. They can still go through all the songs. They can still go through all the shouting and the yelling, but there is something missing spiritually when they are not relying upon the Holy Spirit. All right. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. I have another scripture I wanted to share before I go on. So the kingdom of God is within us. It's an inner kingdom. And without the righteousness, there's no peace and there's no joy. Because I want you to catch this today. Many people are looking for peace, but it is the work of righteousness that brings the peace. Isaiah 32:17, and Angela, can you pull that up on the Bible there on the screen? Isaiah 32:17 says, "The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever." So without righteousness, you are not going to have peace, because it is the work of righteousness that brings peace. So the outworking of righteousness is peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Righteousness. Isaiah 48:22, and you don't need to pull that up. It just simply says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." The wicked has no peace. There's no righteousness for any person, except for those who are under the kingship of Jesus. So our responsibility in the kingdom as the kingdom of priests, and we're going to look at that before we go to Malachi, because I don't want you to think that because Malachi is in the Old Testament, what the Lord is saying to the priest does not apply to us. These were priests that were in service in the Levitical priesthood. They did the sacrifices. They were going through all the rituals. They were doing it all. And that has been done away with. Thank God, in the New Testament, hallelujah, we offer spiritual sacrifices. We bring a sacrifice of praise. Did you bring a sacrifice of praise this morning? We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. So we're going to take a look at the Old Testament in Exodus 19:4-6, because this pattern is established in the Old Testament. "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Something to always remember is the primary purpose of redemption is to bring you to God. This is the reason he redeemed Israel out of Egypt. And basically, Israel as a nation missed God's purpose because of their rebellion, because of their doubt, and their unbelief. They were interested in the covenant, and they were interested in the law, and they were interested in the land, but they were not interested in God. And you see in our Christian walk, we can get real interested in the benefits that we can receive from God. and miss having the relationship with God, which is the whole reason he redeemed us from the hand of the enemy and brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, is so that we could have a relationship with him. That is why he sent his Holy Spirit. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So God's requirement to his people, we see it in this verse, it's to hear his voice. And that's a priority here at the River of Life, that people hear the voice of their Heavenly Father, that you have a personal relationship with him. That is the first and foremost important thing in your life. Hear his voice and keep his covenant. Those are primary conditions for being in relationship with God, and they haven't changed. Then he says, you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These go together. Once again, this is the purpose of God. It has been from the beginning to draw us to himself, to hear his voice, to know his covenant, and we will be a special treasure to him, a kingdom of priests. So let's go on, because it's also mentioned again in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now that corresponds with special treasure, holy nation, and a royal priesthood. What does royalty point to? Royalty points to a king, right? A kingly priesthood. So in our ministry, we are a kingdom of priests. And for that reason, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As priests, we have a praise to share. So this is our function in the kingdom. We are a kingdom of priests. Revelation 1, 5 and 6 says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So if you notice in this verse, through the application of the blood of Jesus in our lives, God has made us kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests. So God's purpose for us in the kingdom is to function as his priests. Are you catching that? God wants to give us his identity for 2023. That we will know who we are in him, and we will know how to function, and we will know the authority that he has given us in the kingdom of God. So Exodus 19, ties right in. It's reinstated in the New Testament. So if we're a kingdom of priests, then there is only one king. And that purpose belongs in the kingdom. The only people living in the kingdom would be priests. We say we're in the kingdom. We pray for his kingdom to come. But we need to recognize the only people in the kingdom are priests. We're a kingdom of priests. Does that make sense? Okay, so what's the job? The job of a king is to rule and to reign. You see, in the New Testament, the two come together, king and priest. In the Old Testament, they were divided. And we'll talk about that next week when we look at Jesus' priestly anointing next week. But we are. It's a combination. I've heard it taught that it's either or, that the kings are out in the marketplace and the priests are doing the work of the Lord. No, we're kings and priests. We are ruling wherever we go, and we rule by prayer. That's why it's important you get here for corporate prayer. That's why it's important that you spend time in prayer. We rule as kings in prayer. That's the only way we can rule. We're not legislating. Thank goodness, not caught up in the middle of nominating the Speaker of the House. I don't know if you watched that this week, but I thought, oh, Jackie Walorski, she would have been having a ball in the middle of all of that because that was her thing, you know. But thank God that got settled. We're not caught up in all those politics of this earthly kingdom. We are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And he has a kingdom of priests, so we are priests. That's our identity. That is our function. Priests offer sacrifices, right? They offer sacrifices and gifts to God. And as you study the Word and really look at God's patterns, we cannot do anything without a priest. We have a high priest who is the mediator between God and man. We go to Jesus, our high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's our high priest in the heavens praying. 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 We don't put enough emphasis in 2023. I encourage you, get in your prayer closet. Pray. Pray. The scripture says without ceasing. I had missed coming into the building to pray. And last night I came in for an hour and just walked and prayed. Walked and prayed. I love to walk and pray and talk to the Lord and proclaim his word because God is listening. We rule and we reign in prayer. Thank you, Lord. So we cannot offer anything without a priest. We cannot approach God with an offering and a gift without going through Jesus Christ. He's the pattern. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He made a way for us to be able to approach the throne of grace because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Getting our thoughts aligned with God and what his word says. So in the book of Hebrews is like the Leviticus in the New Testament. And it talks about the high priesthood of Jesus. And we're going to look at that next week. But the functions that the priests fulfilled as God's representatives here on earth has been passed on to the followers of Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus? Then you have a priestly responsibility. We serve as priests, and we have the task of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. He called us out of darkness to live in marvelous light. So many people are not living or experiencing the kingdom of God. And that is because we have our own mindsets and ideas, and we allow those things to sink into our attitudes and the way that we think, and it keeps us, it robs us from receiving all that God has for us. Do you want to align yourself in 2023? You know, I kept hearing the Lord say, position yourself. Position yourself. If the Lord keeps telling us to position ourselves, then something is out of position. We don't find out what those things are until we get quiet with God. Hallelujah. And you allow the Lord to begin to speak to you. So we who have committed our life to Jesus, we are priests. And therefore, what we're going to study in Malachi is relevant to our lives. Tell your neighbor it's relevant. I read a report about Apple Maps. Years ago, Apple launched a map with GPS. And two of the drivers that were using the app ended up driving across the runway at the Fairbanks International Airport. And apparently there was a glitch in the app which directed drivers to taxiway B. And although the directions didn't specifically tell the drivers to drive across the runway, once they got to the taxiway and they could see the terminal on the other side of the runway, they just drove across the runway to get to the terminal. And apparently there were two people that actually did this. Apparently, they trusted their Apple Maps more than the multiple signs and the motion-activated gate that they had to ignore in order to reach their destination. And fortunately, no one was injured. But you can imagine the potential problems with a car driving across a runway used by large commercial jets. And of course, Apple rushed to fix the problem. And so there's a couple lessons to learn from this. First of all, if you're using GPS, whether you have Google Maps or what you're using, it really helps if you look up and actually read the road signs and look around once in a while so that they're not leading you off across a runway or off a cliff or something. We've had different incidents with Google Maps, you know, ending up out in the middle of sitting next to a cornfield, and this is supposed to be our destination. And so they're not always perfect, right? But there's a spiritual lesson to it, and I believe that is what the Lord really wants us to understand, that each one of us are someone's spiritual map app. People are looking to see what kind of spiritual direction they need to take. And we need to make sure that we don't lead them astray and take them along the wrong route. And that's really the idea behind Malachi's message to these priests. And on top of that, the book of Malachi, in the entire book, there's this message. God desires me to pursue him in the same way he has pursued me. We need to remember that it is God's pursuing love for us that motivated Malachi to share some difficult but necessary truths with the people of Israel and with us. And if you would study chapter 1, you would find men were divorcing their Jewish wives to marry pagan women. And that was rampant in the culture. There were several things that were going on in the book of Malachi that he addressed. But we're going to pick it up in chapter 2 where he begins to address the priests. So verses 1 and 2, Malachi says, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart." So the sermon really begins bold with a direct confrontation. This commandment is for you, O priests. So you can only begin to envision a temple filled with priests and Levites and the people, and all of a sudden the prophet stands up to speak and speaks directly and bluntly to the priests. They might have anticipated that he was going to bring something critical, but they weren't sure how critical or how major it would be. But this was major. And the announcement was that God would send a curse on them if they refused to hear and did not give glory to his name. And this would be a curse on their blessings. Something that God said he had already begun to do. And these two words, blessing and cursing, are important throughout the Bible. The word blessing is a verb to bless, barak, and it means enrichment, physically, spiritually, materially. A blessing is a gift from God, but it is a gift that comes with some empowerment or enablement. And so probably the blessings the priest had received was normal blessings for the people of God. You know, like it rained and there were crops and they had families and homes and there was peace in their time and there was health and all that there were the blessings to the priesthood. As priests, they were empowered to lead worship, to teach the word of God, to announce God's forgiveness for sins, and for atonement. And they ate from the offerings. They dwelt in the sanctuaries or the priestly cities, and they had respect of their congregations. And it was a wonderful life because God had given them so much. The opposite of the word bless is the word curse. And it essentially means to ban someone. That is, to remove the person from the place of blessing or remove the blessing. For example, when God cursed the ground in the beginning, we are told that it would no longer yield its strength in the harvest. And then Cain was cursed, and he was required to flee from the fertile soil and to be a causeless wanderer in the world. So the removal of a blessing is a curse. And the ultimate curse will be that some people will be removed from the eternal blessing because of their unbelief. And so we see the priests were removed. The blessing was removed. I'm sorry, I lost my spot here. I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. So something they already had was taken. Why? because they didn't take it to heart to hear God and to give glory to his name. We might not think that sounds like such a big offense, but we obviously can see in the scripture what an offense it was to God. They wouldn't hear. The word hear is the word shama, and it is connected with a response to obey. So the priests, they heard the word of God and they read it, but they weren't hearing it. They were listening, but they weren't hearing it. Do you remember Jesus said, "My people have ears to hear, but they do not hear. They have eyes to see, but they do not see." And that was the situation. The priests were doing what they were taught to do, but they weren't taking it to heart. They didn't take it to heart. They didn't make a decision. They didn't allow the word of God to penetrate in their hearts to change them. And they didn't give glory to God. And that word glory is the word kabod. And it's heavy. It's weighty. They didn't respect and give glory to God, to his authority. They just must have been just blowing it off. And you know, we can become casual Christians so quickly. We can become casual with the things of God very quickly. And that's what this message is about the responsibility that God has put upon us as priests in his kingdom. It's nothing to be taken lightly or casual. Verses 3 and 4. And the reason it isn't to be taken lightly and casual is because it gives people the wrong impression about God. It makes them think it's okay to do what they want to do. I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, we do not do what we want to do. We do what the king has asked us to do. Jen said this morning, corporate prayer is an act of obedience. God has called us to pray. As priests, we come together to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices to the Lord, and to pray. And this is how we rule, and this is how we reign in this life. Otherwise, we will live defeated lives until we are willing to surrender all that we have to the Lord. So verses 3 and 4. Here we go. "Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts." Those are pretty strong words, right? He said, "I'll rebuke your descendants." For God to rebuke something, it means he's going to change it. He's going to stop it. He's going to replace it. You might recall when Jesus stood up in the boat and he rebuked the winds and the waves. So because the priests had not taken their ministry to heart, their sins would stop their family line from being priests. And this happened in the beginning of Samuel when God removed Eli and his corrupt sons from the priesthood and chose another line. And then he says, I'm going to spread refuse on your faces. You see, it was a duty of the priests to cut out the entrails of the animals, and they would take those entrails, which still had excrements in it, and they would take them outside the camp, and they would burn them. And then they would wash, they would put on clean garments, and they would go back. And the Lord said, I'm going to rub that in your face. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? I don't think God was messing around here. To me, it was shocking when I read that. It's like, God, would you do that? The refuse of your solemn feasts. And then he says, and one will take you away with it. Which means they were going to be taken outside the camp. And then God said, the purpose of this was that his covenant with Levi would continue. Let's go on and to the next verses because it talks about that covenant. God reminds the priests of the calling they had received. Verses 5 and 6. My covenant was with him, Levi, one of life and peace. And I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. So the priests were to speak, to teach, to obey God's law of truth in reverential fear. And this brings, it gives life and peace. Life and peace come through God, through forgiveness of sin, and guidance in his word. Let's go on. It says, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The nature of the ministry of the covenant with Levi is a covenant of life and peace. The words life and peace in some way explain that what the ministry should produce in people's lives. So if the priests were faithfully serving in the sanctuary, speaking the truth, offering the sacrifices for atonement, praying for the people, then the worshipers could find life and peace through them. If they believed and obeyed the word, they would live it. If they confessed and brought sacrifices, they would have peace with God. And this is what any form of ministry is about. People need the life and peace that God gives through the forgiveness of sin and the guidance of his word. But God reminded these priests that the earlier priests not only accepted this ministry that they were ordained to, but they understood the assignment. And God gave them life and peace. As ministers, as priests, we are all called to carry with us the life of God and the peace of God. We are agents of life and peace. Our covenant with God gives us life and brings us peace. He's the Prince of Peace. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Recognizing what we have when we're positioned and in alignment with God, and what we release to people around us when they're watching us, when they're looking for life, when they're looking for peace. You can have life and peace through Jesus Christ. You're his agents. You are his representatives. You are called to have the truth in your mouth. The truth, the law, the Torah, The Torah was true instruction. It was faithful. It was reliable. It was dependable. And he says, injustice was not found on their lips. They walked with him, with God, in peace and equity. They lived the truth. And to walk, most of us know this, is a metaphor for the activities of life that we conduct. To walk with God means to live our life in accordance with the will of God. And that would be characterized by peace and uprightness. To walk with God, one has to be at peace with God. And to be at peace with God, one has to be upright. So the prophet is affirming that God gave the covenant to the Levites, and they were faithful in teaching the truth and living it out before the people. But this whole set of priests were not. And God must have been fed up to hear to release such a strong judgment against them. I know one of the things I read about that they were doing was they were showing partiality to people. That they were overlooking sacrifices if a wealthy person brought in something that wasn't quite up to par, rather than saying something to them, they would just let it go because they wanted the tithe and the offering from the wealthy people. And so they were showing partiality to people. And God is not favorable of that. God is not favorable of that. A strong message, isn't it? Malachi, the word Malachi means messenger. There is a controversy, debate on both sides, whether or not this prophet's name was Malachi, because Malachi means messenger. But on the duties of a priest were to perform was to teach the law of God, to burn incense, which is intercessory prayer, to make sacrifices, which would be able to help people get to God through the provision of the atonement. But first and foremost, they were teachers. Everyone is called to be a teacher of the word. Everyone. You know, we like to put the fivefold into categories, but they don't fit into categories. Yes, they are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but that doesn't mean that's all they do. Their predominant call may be to prophesy or to be a prophet to foresee what's to come. But that doesn't mean they don't pastor. That doesn't mean they don't teach. That doesn't mean they don't evangelize. Don't pigeonhole people into specific categories. Let God, you know, people will say, what were you ordained as? And I'll say, you know what? I'm ordained by God, and whatever he needs at the time, that's what I am. Amen? Whatever he needs, that's who you are. We belong to God. We are instruments of righteousness. And our predominant call might not be evangelism, but I ended up in Africa evangelizing out in the jungle. Was I comfortable? No. Did God care? No. Because when you give your life to God, you're not your own. Have we got that yet? We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We are kings and priests. You are in a kingdom of priests. You are God's representative here in the earth, and we have an awesome responsibility to be the living truth, to walk it, to live it, to speak it. And that's how we give God glory, is by speaking the truth, by sharing about what God has done, about sharing who He is, and that people can have a relationship with Him. It's not about how many gifts you have or what you're able to operate in. It is about, do you have a relationship with God? Because if you haven't been with God, the King of Kings, then you have nothing to say for God. You come up empty if you've not been with God. Priests spend time with God. Priests spend time in the Word. And we've heard this over and over here. We teach it a lot. Study. Get in the Word. You know, once you get into the Word, you get an appetite for it. You may not have it right now, but if you will get into the Word, get our biblical foundation books. They are wonderful devotions. You can spend 20 minutes on it, or you can find yourself spending 2 or 3 hours on it. Get something that is biblical. There's a whole lot out there that's not. And until you know God and you know His Word, you're not able to discern between what's good and what's evil. Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. That's for everybody. And this is a strong message today, but we just cannot skirt underneath the requirements and think we're going to get by and our life is going to be fulfilled, because it's not. It's not. God showed up to talk to those priests. They thought they were making it. They were going through all of the motions, but they didn't take it to heart. 2023, take it to heart. Take it to heart. Let's go on. We're going to finish up this chapter and close. Verses 8, but you have departed from the way. You've caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. They had deliberately changed the course of their service. They didn't study. They didn't tell people the truth. And they didn't live the faith before the people. The ministry didn't change. The assignment didn't change. They changed. They departed. They didn't take it to heart. They probably thought they were just simply making some practical innovations for their age, and they were corrupting the plan of God. We can come up with ideas that sound good, but they're not God. All ideas need to be submitted at the throne of God. And honest, He will shed light on them. Do you believe that? Decisions you're making, God will shine His light on them. And because of their teaching, they cause many people to stumble. And no doubt that refers back to the first chapter. Like I said, there was so much going on that was immoral that they were overlooking and not addressing. We've heard it spoke of many times, prophets calling evil good and good evil. And we see the rise of that in our culture today. Jesus said it would be better that you hadn't been born than to cause a little one to stumble. Jesus said that. Those are really strong words when you take it to heart. So they dishonored God in their ministry, and now God says, I'll dishonor you. He'll leave them alone. He'll let them continue for a while. But now that they have been exposed to everyone, they'll know how base and low they really are. You cannot minister without the power of God, without the presence of God. We need Jesus more than ever. So this was a sermon addressed to the priest, but the topic concerned the knowledge and the use of Scripture in ministry. And so the principle that was set forth here applies directly to people who are fully active in ministry today, pastors, teachers, counselors, and the like, and how they handle the Word of God is critical. James said it's a dangerous thing to teach in front of a group of people. Sometimes we rush too eagerly to do something, not realizing how serious it is to speak for God. But as with Israel, so in the church, all believers are a kingdom of priests. And what the priests were to the people are supposed to be to the world. And that's teachers of God's word. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and make... Yes, disciples. Disciples are learners. We are teachers. How can we influence people toward righteousness? It's a question to ask the Lord. Someone you're praying for, someone you know that is lost. Our brothers and sisters right here, how can we influence one another towards righteousness? Because with righteousness, we're going to find peace. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. My closing verse is, we are living epistles of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:2 to 3 says this, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And this was the apostle talking to the people. He said, you are our epistles. We have been teaching you the Spirit of the Word. And the Spirit of the Word is writing on the tables of your heart. So you are a living epistle. You are known and read by all men, is in another scripture. You're known and read. Oh, it's right there in the first part of that. Known and read by all men. People are watching you. You're someone's spiritual map. If you're a parent, you have great responsibility to teach your children the truth, the word, to honor God, to be in the house of the Lord. You're their primary teacher. And what you say, what you do, will affect them eternally. It's important. I can't emphasize how much the Lord's just been speaking to me the last few weeks about the importance of taking the call that is on our life as priests seriously. Taking it to heart. So you can search your heart. The challenge would be, will you take to heart the responsibility God has given you as a priest in His kingdom to teach the truth and live it? The other part of that is what I've been doing the last 4 weeks, is allowing the Lord to search my heart to show me where I haven't taken it to heart. Like I said, we can become casual very easily. And I'm not saying that we're serious all the time and just serious, serious. No, we should have fun, fellowship, food, enjoy each other's company. But even in the midst of that, God should be glorified. Amen? But take time. 2023. This is a challenging message at the beginning of the year. And pray for me. The Lord gives me something happier to preach on. He'll give me these things and I'll say, but Lord, can someone else teach you that? Oh, because I know He's going to get in my stuff. You know, when He starts talking to me, He works in my heart first before this message comes forward. And I can say, God's been digging on the inside. He'll show you your weakness. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you to be a stronger person. He wants you to be the best representative of the kingdom of God that you can be. He wants you to reach your highest potential. If you're struggling today because you feel like you're not going to make it, God says you'll make it. Let me help you. You know, we all have that independent spirit that we'll just figure it out ourselves and do it. Is that right? Does anybody here have that? The Lord will break that. He wants to help us. And you know what? He knows the best way. And when you follow the Lord and you obey the Lord, however it turns out, that's up to God. If people receive you, reject you, it doesn't make any difference one way or the other. That's not where our identity is. Our identity is in following God. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. You've been a wonderful congregation. And we have our closing song this morning. Father, thank You for this word. Thank You, Father, that You've penetrated into our hearts, Lord. Your word is like a seed, and You've seeded us this morning. And Lord, I pray that You continue to water the seed. And Lord, I pray that it brings forth fruit in each one of our lives. Lord, continue to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.